Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
The Gospel of Luke chapter 1 verse 26. And we're going to read a few verses for your hearing today, and then we're going to preach for a few moments this morning. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." Everybody say favored. The Lord is with thee. Everybody say the Lord is with me. It said, "You are highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Everybody say forever. Turn to your neighbor and tell him that's a long time. "And of his kingdom there shall be no end." To his kingdom there shall be no end. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, the Mary model. The Mary model. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God's got a plan that he wants to do in your life. You may be seated. One of my favorite basketball players of all time is Charles Barkley. Sir Charles is his nickname now, but back when I used to root for him, back when he was with the 76ers and the Phoenix Suns, he was the round mound of rebound. And it has been attributed to him a famous saying where he said, "I am not a role model." That is a little true, but the actual quote is this, and I quote, "I am not paid to be a role model. I am paid to wreak havoc on the basketball court." But what Charles Barkley, and if you've heard him interviewed about these quotes decades later, he attributes some of that quote to youth, some of that quote to ignorance of his position at the time, of how much that we put on pedestals, people in the entertainment or the sports worlds and industries. And there's a lot of people who do not ask to be role models, but are role models. When teenagers were asked recently in a poll who they look up to the most, I was surprised by the answer that most of them gave. It wasn't Lady Gaga, wasn't Justin Bieber, wasn't Drake, wasn't Kanye. It was their parents. That's probably not something that they would say to their parents, but it's something that in the secrecy and being able to remain anonymous said, "My role model that I look up to the most is my parents." That is an exciting thing and a frightening thing. I was having a conversation with a gentleman the other day, and he said, "This world is full of stupid people." And I said, "And here's what's scary. Stupid people raise stupid kids." And I don't say that to be derogatory. When I say stupid, I'm really talking about ignorant. Ignorant of the things of God. Ignorant of the plan of God. Ignorant that there is a God that exists that not only wants to love them through to eternity, but wants to have an impact on their life on this earth. I meet a lot of kids that are struggling with direction. I see a lot of young people. I have them sit in my office, and parents go through the laundry list of things that are wrong with their children, and I look at their children, and then I look at the parent that has given me the laundry list, and I think it's not the child that should be in this session. It should be just me and the parent. Because a lot of times parents are producing those kind of outcomes in their children because they don't know, because they don't have a real relationship with Jesus. And so who we aspire to be and who we admire says a lot about ourselves. and who you aspire to be and who you want to be like. I believe that if you focus and who you focus and the characteristics that we focus, that is what we become. That's why I believe if you want to grow in God, get around giant killers. If you want to grow in faith, get around faith generals, women and men who have been there and done that and done great things of faith. If you want to run with the big dogs, quit barking and yapping with and at the chihuahuas of life and get around some pit bulls, get around some big dogs that have not only a big bark, but a big bite. And so role models and who we look at and what we see around us, what we focus on, we will become. And here we see Mary. And let's just talk about Mary for a moment. Mary now, looking back, is one of the heroes of faith. We speak very highly of Mary. We preach so much about all that Mary is and all that Mary did. There are certain denominations and sects of religion that actually espouse Mary as co-redeemer, that she is on the same plateau as Jesus. She is not on the same plateau as Jesus. I'm telling you right now, if I saw Michael Jordan in the airport, I would ask him for his autograph. If I saw Michael Jordan's mother in the airport, I would say, good job raising a good son, and I would keep on walking. There's a difference between Mary and Jesus. But I do want to give Mary kudos for saying yes. Because Bible history tells us she wasn't 35 and married, she was 16 and engaged. She was 16 and engaged with an angel named Gabriel, walked into her bedroom and began to have a heavenly conversation with her. I'm impressed by this because I know 46-year-old people that if Gabriel walked into their room and started having a conversation, they would call the cops and say, there's a home invasion happening. Get this guy Gabe out of my house. But at 16 years old, engaged to the man of her dreams, Gabriel walks in and greets her with not a lot of formality. And the Bible says that it strikes Mary strange that the salutation or the greeting that Gabriel gives her is not full of fluff, not hello, how are you doing? Can I encourage you? If you're expecting pleasantries from God, you're not going to get them. God is direct and to the point. How many of you love texting? I love texting. There was only like 3 hands went up. You are all liars. I love texting. You know why I love texting? It's direct. It's to the point. When I text somebody or they text me, they don't ask about my wife, my children, how I'm doing, my health, my money. They tell me exactly why they are texting me. I used to love, how many of you remember answering machines with the cassettes? I used to love the answering machine because I was really nosy. And back in the day, you won't remember this if you're too young, the answering machine actually had a cassette tape and it would record conversations. You actually had to erase all of the conversations. So when mom and dad weren't home, I would just press play and listen to everything people had talked about. And every once in a while, if you picked up the phone at the exact moment, it would record the entire conversation because the answer machine had already picked up. And I loved to hear voice recordings from my grandpa. My grandpa was a man of few words. This would be Bishop's father. And he would call and he would just say this, Steve, cows, JP, call me. Steve, horses, JP. Give me a call. And I like the directness of that because we are getting to the point in time, church, where we don't have time to go through a lot of wasted talk, wasted movement. We've got a Jesus that is coming back again. But this time he's not coming back in a manger. This time he's not coming back as an 8-pound, 6-ounce version of baby Jesus. This time he's coming back riding on a horse. This time he's coming back for a church that is without spot and without wrinkle. This time Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for those that have said yes to him. And so before he comes back, when Jesus begins to talk to you, understand that Jesus is going to give you directives. Jesus is going to give you promises. And there's not going to be a lot of fluff in between, and you've got to be ready that when Jesus begins to speak to you, the Mary model is, as you listen, and even though you might have questions in your spirit, you let the Word of God permeate your skin into your heart, and you begin to think about this great thing that evidently God sees something in me and in you like He saw in Mary, that with everything going on in the world, He would sit down at your kitchen table with you, that He'll ride to work with you tomorrow, and He will speak life into you. He will speak a promise into you. He will speak a word into you. The sixth month of the year, Gabriel was sent from God in the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a woman that was a virgin, espoused to Joseph, engaged to Joseph, who was in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Luke, the doctor, he makes sure that we understand that Mary is a virgin because he mentions it twice here in verse 2. Now, we just glance over a lot of these little parts of this story that I find mind-boggling. Because here is a woman who is 16 years of age, a young woman, who Gabriel comes in, God sends him to a virgin who is engaged to a man and says, the Holy Spirit is about to make you pregnant. Now, we shout about that now. The virgin birth is a huge part of the gospel because it has to be a pure blood stream. The blood is decided by the Father, and so Joseph cannot impregnate Mary. It has to be the Holy Spirit that overshadows her. Now, I don't know about you, but that is the biggest miracle in the Bible. Bigger than walking on water, bigger than rolling the tomb away or the stone away and Lazarus coming forth, is Mary at 16 years of age having a conversation with God, and the conversation with God is so rich that it impregnates her. Oh, you missed it. When was the last time that you sat down with God and got a word that was so fertile and so rich that just talking to God got something started inside of you? That just conversing with your Savior got something going inside of you? That's why every time you open up the black back book, that's every time you hit the Bible on your smartphone and you start reading the Word of God, it's not words on paper, it's not an app on your phone, it is the Word of God, which means it's the presence of God. And when the Word of God and the presence of God is unimpeded in your life, it will produce a life, it will produce a promise, it will produce a future. Who do you think she was more scared to talk to, her parents or Joseph? Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. Dad goes and starts getting his shotgun. Where's Joseph? Mom says, oh, mija, what have you done? Joseph says, who is he? She said, Jehovah. That's funny, Mary. Who is he? Jehovah. Props to Joseph. Because if Brandon was in Joseph's shoes, he would have done bounced. He would have already been back on Christian Mingles. Faith-filled people, when they get connected, they talk faith. They understand faith. They live faith. That's why when you talk about your dreams and what God has deposited in you, you have to be hooked up with people that serve the same God, talk the same language, and have the same faith. So that when it seems so crazy and it seems so out there, they're like Joseph say, I understand you because God spoke the same thing to me. God already confirmed in me what Gabriel said to you. If you are running around with people that are hating on your dream and that are saying you're crazy and that don't understand what God is doing in your life, it's because they're not on the same realm of faith. They're not living on the same plateau of faith. But I'm glad I showed up at Living Way today because this is a house of faith. We're not going to laugh at your dreams. We're going to pour gasoline on that fire and tell you, shoot for the stars, shoot for the moon, get big vision, get big dreams. If God has overshadowed you, then that's all that matters. It's the Mary model. Choose people of faith that are not going to laugh at your dreams, that are not going to bounce when they hear about your dreams, that are not going to call you crazy when you share the word of the Lord. And the one thing that we have to see here in verse 28, and the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored." Check this out. She's not pregnant yet. Jesus has not been born yet. Jesus has not healed anybody. Jesus has not delivered anybody. Jesus has not gone to the cross. Jesus has not been resurrected, nor has he ascended, but he calls her favored. Favored is not stuff. See, a lot of times we get a new car, favored and fair. That's not favor. That's a byproduct of favor. Or perhaps you just worked your tail off, and it's not favor. It's you working 60 hours at a job. Even though God gave you the power, it took you 60 hours a week at a job for 6 or 8 months to save enough for that down payment to get your monthly payments worked out right. And we talk about favor being things. Things is not favor. Favor is an attitude of God towards you. See, when I walk in favor, it's not because of the house I live in, the clothes I wear, or the car I drive. Favor is that God's attitude directed towards me is one that is unencumbered, uninhibited, and anything that God wants to do in me, through me, to me, on me, he can do. That is when you're truly favored. Favored is not you getting a big bonus check at work. That is a benefit of being favored. When we're talking about being favored, we're talking about being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. That means that the Holy Ghost feels comfortable in our lives with what we're doing, with who we're hanging out with, where we're going. That's why the Bible would say, grieve not the Spirit, quench not the Holy Spirit, because when the Spirit is quenched, the favor goes. So this 16-year-old girl is not on Snapchat. She's not twerking. She's not up into clubs. God is looking for a maiden. I heard a cute message one time. What if Mary said no? If Mary said no, there was another maiden. And if that maiden said no, there was another maiden. And if that maiden said no, there was 10 other that God would have went to and said, you are highly favored. Let's have a baby. He was not settled on one. God's plan, God's promise, God's son, God's seed is never going to hinge on one person saying yes or no. It would have been a big miss for Mary, for Joseph, and that family. But there was another Mary down the road, down the block. You are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women. You're highly favored. The Lord is with thee. And you are blessed among women. Now, a lot of people would have a problem with this because she's 16. God does not treat her like a 16-year-old. God treats her like a woman. Listen to this. God's favor is not for one age, for one gender, or for one race. God's not looking at the color of your skin. God's not looking at your age. God's not looking at how long have you been a member of a certain church, what denomination you grew up in. None of that matters. God is looking for one thing, and it is faith. If you have faith, God looks past everything else and says, I'm looking for faith. When the Son of Man returns to earth, it's not looking for church membership. He's looking for faith. Said, you're highly favored. Favor is fair. I know a lot of my peers have preached favor ain't fair, and it preaches cute, and it gets everybody going crazy. But to say favor ain't fair relieves us of all responsibility to live righteous, to walk in truth, to walk in love, to walk in the power of God. Favor is fair. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that God rewards the diligence. Diligence equals reward. Reward equals favor. Favor equals faithful. Favor is fair. Favor follows obedience. Favor follows faith. Favor follows people that say yes to God. Favor follows people that say no to the world. And here a 16-year-old girl, we're talking about the Mary model, a 16-year-old girl with her life in front of her. She's engaged. She's planning a wedding. She's picking out a dress. And God's saying, you're going to need a bigger dress because you're going to be 9 months pregnant when you get married. You're going to be pregnant. You're going to be bigger than you are today. Turn to your neighbor and tell him favor is fair. Verse 29, and she saw him and she was troubled at his saying. When was the last time that God spoke a word that was so big that it troubled you? God, did you get the right address? God, did you get the right person? That's crazy talk. That's big dream. That's big vision. God said, I know exactly who I'm talking to. I know exactly what I'm doing. I want to encourage somebody that in 2018, you might have been troubled by what God had to say, but I'm here to tell you, God did not miss. God did not make a mistake. God knew who he was talking to, and if God talked to you about that vision, you're ready for that vision. If God talked to you about that dream, you're ready for that dream. I'm talking to a Mary today that you might be too young, everybody says. You might be too old, everybody says. You might not come from the right background, everybody says. But God puts all that to the left and right and says, I know who I'm talking to you, and you are looking at it through your vision. But once my spirit overshadows you, once my spirit gets on the inside of you, you're going to not only be impregnated by the word, you're going to carry it to full term. You're going to have a beautiful vision and dream birth in your life. It's the Mary model. So number one, you got to hook up with the right people. You got to find the right Joseph that's not going to run when you share your dream, when you share the promise that God has given you. The number two thing is you've got to have some faith and understand, I don't deserve to be favored, but I'm favored. Why God chose me? I don't know. I'm just glad he chose me. Why God chose me to pastor this great church, I don't know. I just wake up every day saying, God, thank you for choosing me. And I say yes every day. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind, what kind of greeting is this? What kind of greeting? No, hello, Mary. Not asking my opinion, just saying, Mary, I know you're engaged to Joseph. I know you want to start a family, but we're going to start that family sooner. And your first son's name is going to be Jesus. And he's not going to be like all the other little boys. At 12 years old, he's going to stump all the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the doctors. He's going to be standing in the temple, and they're going to be confused at the wisdom that this young man has. At 30 years of age, he's going to turn water into wine. He is going to walk on water. He is going to unstop deaf ears. He is going to heal the paralyzed. He is going to open blinded eyes. He is going to bring people back to life. The widow of Nain's son is going to get out of his coffin. Lazarus is going to walk out of the grave. He's going to take 39 lashes on his back. They're going to pierce his head, his hands, and his feet. They're going to put a spear in his side. They're going to lay him in the grave for 3 days. And in those 3 days, let's go Easter for a little bit at Christmas, he's going to show up in hell. He's going to put the devil under his feet once and for all. He's going to take the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He's going to show back up in the tomb, but this time in the tomb, he ain't gonna be dead. He's not going to be asleep. They gonna roll back the tomb, and Jesus is gonna walk this earth. He's gonna ascend into heaven, and the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead, the very same Spirit that Jesus had, is gonna be unleashed. All of that is going to happen when you say yes. It's the Mary model. I'm troubled by the greeting, Mary, we don't have time for formality. Mary, we don't have time for me to ask you how your mom and them are doing. I've come with a word because in 9 months we need a Savior. I've come with a word because in 38 years there's going to be a man laying at the pool. I've come for a word because there's another woman who's carrying Lazarus who's going to die and needs a resurrection. I've come because there's going to be a Peter that if we don't get Peter saved, there's going to be no church. I've come with a word because in San Antonio in 2018, there's somebody that needs a miracle. There's somebody needs saving. There's somebody. I've come. No formalities. I need a yes. All of that for you. All of that for me. All of that for this. And you wonder why I get so mad when you want to take the nativity scene out. You wonder why I get so mad when you want to take Christ out of Christmas. It is because it is the reason, not for the season. It's the reason I exist. It's the reason why I praise. It's the reason why I live. It's not a cute saying. It's not something that we put out in our front yard. It means something to us because I am that Mary. You are that Mary. When the Word of God shows up, how many of you, God talks to you? Every time God talks to you, it should be a Mary moment. Every time God talks to you, you can say, God, you rolled in here, guns a-blazing. You didn't ask me how my day was. You just started speaking promise. You started speaking deliverance. You started speaking word. I like people that are direct and to the point. And that's how my God is. And God has shown up today and he's direct and to the point. This is what I'm speaking over you. This is what I'm declaring over you. This is what I'm putting in your spirit. This is the baby that you're going to birth. All I need is a yes. If your yes doesn't happen today, I move on to somewhere else and somebody else, and I'll meet you here next Sunday with another promise, with another declaration. But God needs a yes from somebody today. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. A few more people say yes. Somebody jump up on your feet and shout yes. Come on, it's the Mary model. It's what God's been waiting on all year. It might have taken you 11 and a half months, but God's excited because he got your yes. We used to have somebody that worked here at Living Way that I didn't care to talk to them much because they were not direct. This was 25 years ago. I talked to them, and if their answer was yes, they wanted to tell me why their answer was yes. And if their answer was no, they wanted to tell me why their answer was no. I don't need to know all that. If it's no, I'm moving on to the next. If it's yes, I'm going to impregnate. Come on now. So when you say yes to God, God says, all right, boom, you're pregnant with this word. Carry it for 9 months, and I promise you, you're going to produce exactly what I said you would produce. If you say no, God said, I'll check back with you tomorrow. I'm moving on. Don't let the Spirit move past you. Don't let the Word move past you. God's looking for a yes. Very simply, very, very, very simple message today. Yes. So simple, yes. Do you love me? Yes. It's time for church, 9 a.m. Should I go today? Yes. The offering bucket is passing. Should I become a tither? Yes. They're up there pouring out their spirit in worship and praise. Should I lift my hands? Yes.
Should I sing? Yes. Should I serve? Yes. Should I witness? Yes. Should I pray? Yes. Should I fast? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Your yes unleashes the presence and the promise of God. Mary said, it's strange that you're talking to me, 16, engaged. But let your word be established, is what she says. Let it happen. If this is your will, I'm on board. I'm glad Mary said yes, because of what is produced in this earth. I hope that you'll say yes today, because there's some things in your life that are hinging on your yes. Your children, your marriage, your money, your ministry, your emotional state, walking, living in joy. Yes, 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 yes. If God has been speaking to you, or if you're going through a difficult season of your life, I need you to leave your seat and join me down here. We're going to be done in 2 minutes, but we're not going to rush past this moment. There's about another 50 people that it's time that you said yes. You've been struggling and fighting with it all year long, and it's time that you said yes. 3 little letters, 1 little word, yes. Salvation is 3 letters, 1 word, yes. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Do you believe he's the Son of God? Yes, I do. Do you believe he's the only way to heaven? Yes, I do. Do you believe he's the way, the truth, the life? Yes, I do. It's a yes. The Mary model is simply yes. I wish I was married when you came to me, Jesus, but I'll say yes. I wish I was a little older, a little more mature, but I'll still say yes. Don't wait on the perfect moment for your yes, because it will never come. Don't wait till you get all your ducks in a row, because it will never happen. Don't wait till you get that situation fixed and then I'm going to give God my full yes. Give him a yes today and all that other stuff will work out in his timing, in his power. Yes. Look at this full altar, but I believe there's another dozen or two in this house. There's sickness in your body. A yes in faith, I believe, is going to heal you today. You've got a pending court issue. A yes today, I believe, can turn that judge's heart. In this house today, I wonder if there's anybody, and I'm going to step down and pray with those in this altar. Is there anybody that does not know Jesus? The manger was a great introduction.